welcome to episode 22 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Robin, and this week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Amy, and Sandy. The Disneyland Park in Anaheim, California, opened on July 17, 1955, with Walt's famous speech that began, "To all who come to this happy place, welcome." That means this year the park is celebrating her diamond anniversary, 60 years young. Disney fans know this is the park that Walt Disney himself built. He oversaw its construction and walked its pathways for many years before his death. No other Disney park can say that. Even Walt Disney World in Florida, a park he envisioned and surveyed for, was not complete before he passed on. Today, we're going to explore this wonderful park and discuss the many reasons you should visit, especially this year during its landmark anniversary. So let's get started.
So I can't even hear those words, "To all who come to this happy place, welcome." I can't even hear that without tearing up. It's such a beautiful sentiment. And I think that really Disney is, Disneyland is sort of where it all began. So for no other reason, if you, want a piece of American history, and I don't even mean if you're a Disney nerd, it truly is a huge piece of American history and well worth visiting. And it doesn't take you very long to visit either. It's much smaller than...
Yeah, you could definitely do it in 3 days. Easy. Yeah.
People are always asking me, well, we go to Disneyland every 2 to 3 years, since my husband's from California. And people are always asking me which is my favorite, Disney World or Disneyland. And I tell them you can't... It's not apples to apples.
Right.
It's so different. I love the intimacy of Disneyland, the fact that you can go from one park to the other. But Disney World is so much bigger, and it's a different thing to itself.
Yeah, it's a totally different feeling, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So which one of the two parks, the Disney California Adventure or Disneyland Park, which one do you like best? Or what do you like about each? I know that you really can't. It's hard to compare them, even, you know? I will say, I wish they had not changed. I liked the way they had California spelled out in front of Disney, California Adventure, and now it looks like Disney Hollywood Studios.
A little bit.
Yeah. So I really do. I mean, we have pictures of our little cousins, like, sitting in the letters and stuff, and I kind of miss that. I do like the whole glorified California theming, you know, about all the, because California is such a cool state, and there's such vastness to it. So I think it is very cool how they've done that.
So we used to get pictures of Alex on the A every year, so...
Cool.
Amy, what were you going to ask?
Is Disney California, does it have the different parks like Disney Florida?
It has two parks. It has two parks primarily. It has Disneyland, which is the original park that Walt built. And then it has Disney's California Adventure, which is the second park that opened in, I'm going to show off my trivia knowledge here, I believe in 2001, something like that.
Yeah.
I know when I went, it happened to be its 1 year anniversary. It opened in February. I do know that. So just the two parks, there's really not a lot of land there. So, you know, it's in Anaheim, and
it's literally the old parking lot of Disneyland.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what was there before. Yeah.
So they're doing what they can with the space. And then there is a downtown Disney area that sort of brings those two together. And then there are three resorts. That's it.
Yeah.
on property.
So when you're on resort in California, is it the same as being on resort in Florida? Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's totally different, really, because there's so many hotels, good neighbor hotels, right outside of Disneyland, as close as, you know, the Disneyland Hotel, really. And you can just walk from so many of them. And so you really don't have that immersion that you do when you're in Florida, which is fine. You know, like, it's a little different, you know, but it's... I don't know. I don't really know how to describe it. Both times we've gone with my kids, we've stayed at not a Disney property. We stayed at two other properties. It's usually, you know, less expensive. It's a lot easier to do. It's just as easy to walk. You know, you just walk into the parks. So it's pretty good. But we did go visit the resorts. And from downtown Disney, you can actually take the monorail into Disneyland Park, into Tomorrowland. So that was pretty cool, too. I really liked that.
So what's a good amount of time if you want to visit that? I know when you're talking Florida, like, you've got all these parks and you want to spend at least a day in each park, what would you do for California if there's only two parks?
Last time we did 3-day park hoppers, and we felt, and it was August, so it was a crowded time. And they have a lot of locals, too. So you do have a lot, I think you get a lot, way more of a local crowd because they do, like, Southern California pass holder rates and stuff. 3 days park hopping, we felt like we pretty much got to do everything we wanted to do.
And there's still more that you could, you know.
Yeah, we missed a few things. Yeah, but,
there are, you can spend 4 or 5 days there, but generally, even Disney knows that you probably won't spend all of those days in the parks all the time. And so, you know, and there's, of course, Southern California has so much to offer. So unlike Walt Disney World, where you really can go down, you could go down for 2 weeks and stay at Walt Disney World and really never get bored.
Yeah.
At Disneyland, the vacation is actually California itself. It's a piece of, and again, I think that's part of why it's so nice that they've pulled in California's history and made it such a feature of the Disneyland park, because they do sort of embrace the, it's more of a neighborhood Walt Disney World. It's like what Walt Disney World would be like if it was in your neighborhood in a medium-sized town.
One of the other differences is that I think you need a park hopper at Disneyland because the parks are so close together and they're walkable, that having one really helps you, because you can, something's crowded, you could actually go get a fast pass in the other park, and then come back and go do some things and then go back and use your fast pass.
Yeah, they are that close together. And that's one of the things I love about Disneyland, is it actually is so accessible. If you stay on property, your resorts are very close to the parks. And then you also, attractions are all very close to each other. You get off Pirates of the Caribbean and there is the Haunted Mansion. There's, it's just so much. Everything seems to be almost, especially compared to Walt Disney World, right on top of each other. It's not overly crowded. It's just everything's on top of each other.
If you go to the Grand Californian, there's actually an entrance to California Adventure, which is really nice. It's nice to have that access. That's the only hotel I haven't stayed at. I've stayed at Paradise Pier a few times, Disneyland Hotel once. I really want to stay at the Grand Californian because I like the idea that you go in through the back entrance.
Yeah, and it's a gorgeous hotel, too.
It's a gorgeous hotel with a gorgeous entry into the park, too, as opposed to that front entry, which isn't ugly, but the front entry, the entrance of California Adventure sort of indicates that you should, you're entering Hollywood, whereas when you enter from the Grand Californian, it's like you're entering the parks of California.
Right.
So it's just crazy with more flora, more fauna, more mountains and everything else. It's a totally different approach to the park.
Oh, well, and Disney does this so well with their themed areas, but then you've got the Paradise Pier part, you know?
Yeah.
And it feels like you're doing an old school Ferris wheel, although the Ferris wheel is not old school. Did you ride the Ferris wheel?
It looks like an old-fashioned Ferris wheel.
Yeah. Until you get on it.
Did you ride that one, Robin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I about died. They put, first of all, while we were waiting in line for it, they took two cars out of commission for cleaning them up. And that should have been the big clue right there. But then Ellie and I get on it, and we've got these strangers across from us, and they had ridden it before, but when that thing started swinging and didn't stop, and we had no seatbelts, and oh my gosh, that was like the craziest ride ever. Mm-hmm. That was insane. That is a really crazy ride.
It's so creepy because it has this beautiful smiling old school Mickey Mouse on it. It looks so happy, and you go up and you're like, that is a death trap.
Yeah, and it's a Ferris wheel. That's like, no one's scared of a Ferris wheel. No. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's got to be one of the scariest rides.
Has either of you been to Cars Land?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at night, especially, it's so amazing. I think that the thing about the California Adventure is the immersion. Since they've redone it, and they just redid it a couple years ago, they added Cars Land. It's so immersive. Theming is really, really good. And we've talked about this in previous episodes where Universal Studios does this really well. California Adventure, to me, it's spot on. You feel like you should be wearing, you know, turn of the century costume. Well, not turn of the century, but, you know, sort of that early movie era costuming. Yeah. And
have you guys heard of Dapper Day?
Yeah, they just had it.
Yeah.
What
is this?
It's awesome.
Yeah. My old babysitter, Sarah, who I'm going to tell that she needs to listen to this podcast now because I did a shout out to her. But she moved to San Francisco and she has season passes to Disneyland. She goes all the time. When she was dolled up for Dapper Day, and I'm like, did she make this up? But no.
Yeah, no. It's been happening for years now. It's really, the idea was they wanted to dress up like you used to see in the old brochures for Disneyland, where people were wearing their pearls and their, you know, their suits and their, you know, all dressed up to go out for a day at the park. Because now you pretty much slub up when you go to the park, which is a shame.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, a whole bunch of people, and it's gotten bigger every year.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's fantastic. People look fantastic. And they tend to dress, period, but you can just dress up and, you know, and show up.
I think that's so cool. That's another thing about Disneyland. Yeah, but Cars Land, I agree. That is a fun ride. Well, the Radiator Springs Racers, that's a really good ride. And I do like the little, the Tomato one, too. I can't remember what it's called, but it reminds me of this one. Back, if you listen to the episode where we talked about theme parks versus amusement parks, I think I mentioned Kennywood and this ride called the Whip. And it, the Whip is kind of like just a circle. Well, it's like an oblong, like an oval. And but the Tomato ride, it's like figure eights, and you're just flinging all over the place. So it's one of those that looks like it's probably simple, but it's really fun when you get on.
Yeah, that was one where my son was six at the time, and he was like, I don't know if I really want to do this. I said, no, you have to try this. And he didn't want to ride anything else. He just wanted to ride that over and over again.
Oh, and World of Color, that's another thing that you can't get in Florida, and that's at Disney California
Adventure. It's amazing. So I went a little bit after it had first started. We went for the first time, and we were just standing there in awe, and we got these amazing pictures. And then when we went the next time 2 years later, they had updated it a little bit with some newer movies and changed a little bit, so and it was even better.
And they're updating it this year for the Diamond Celebration too, so it's gonna be a little bit different this year. Yeah,
didn't they say Neil Patrick Harris was gonna be like narrating it?
I had not heard that.
I heard something about
I'm
him
interested.
We should look that up.
I know that they're changing the World of Color. They're calling it, so they're I don't know if, I can't tell if it's an insert or if they're totally redoing the show, but they're calling it Celebrate at World of Color. And they're working in the history of Walt's life, basically, sort of a biography kind of thing. And then they're also introducing a new fireworks show, and all this starts May 22nd, so pretty soon after. We just, a little secret, we record these well before they air, but right before this comes out. So May 22nd of this year, 2015, the new, they call it immersive fireworks, which sounds really scary to me. I don't know what that means.
Exactly.
But I'm pretty sure it doesn't mean that you're going to be standing in the middle of a bunch of explosions.
I also saw on the video where they were talking about this stuff, the new nighttime parade. Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That looks so cool. Because they took the Electric Light Parade away from Disneyland to get to Florida. So now they get their nighttime parade back. Yeah, maybe I'll have to plan a trip.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go run a race. Something like that.
It's nice because there are certain rides that we know they don't have at Disney World. So when we go to Disneyland, we look forward to, like, Matterhorn and Nemo and, oh my God, I just went blank about the other one.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yes.
I love that ride.
That's one of them.
Indiana Jones. Yeah.
Yeah. Although, which, with that said,
it's really just like Dinosaur.
But through the Temple of Doom.
Exactly. Yeah. But with that said, it's still important that you experience rides that you think you know from Walt Disney World, because they are so totally different.
Yeah.
We got halfway through Pirates of the Caribbean, and my daughter turned to me and she was like, this is way better than Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's
well, even
it's
the way it starts out is cool, you know, going through the Blue Bayou restaurant?
Or? Yeah.
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 Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
It almost seemed to me like some rides suddenly made sense to me. Haunted Mansion is the same way. I just feel like the storytelling is much stronger at Disneyland, and then at Disney World, I don't know, they sort of assumed that you'd been on the other one. So they're shorter, and they seem, you know, I hate to say the words dumbed down, but they just seem like they're abbreviated versions of the real thing. And, you know, Haunted Mansion is spectacular at Disneyland. I mean, it's this huge house. And
have you ever been when they do the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay?
I haven't.
No, I haven't.
Have you, Robin?
No.
I would love to.
That's a goal.
Travel with your travel agent. Let's go to Disneyland. Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's actually my favorite ride at Walt Disney World is Soarin'. And Soarin' originated in Disneyland. And I actually got to experience it in Disneyland when California Adventure first opened.
Mm-hmm.
And we rode it again and again and again. I had never seen anything like it. And it's interesting to me because, and maybe things have changed. I think the last time I went to Disneyland, I'll admit, was 2 years ago. The film was in much better shape. I was like, I guess when you're in California, either the weather keeps it nicer or they have movie people who actually take care of the film and fix it.
It does need some love in Epcot.
It really needs some love in Epcot, and you know, there's marks in it, but the one in California still, it ran like brand new.
So the first time I went to Disneyland, I was 19, and it was the 35th celebration year, which tells you
how old Sandy is now.
And Splash Mountain was a new ride, and that was how I felt about Splash Mountain. We rode that over and over again, and that is the trip that actually kind of sparked. I mean, I had been to Disney World a couple times as a kid. That sparked my going to Disney World as an adult. So we came home from that trip in California and immediately started going to Disney World like every year in college. And Splash Mountain wasn't even open yet in Disney World, so that's how long ago that was. But I remember being so blown away by Star Tours and just so many cool things. And then I found my ticket not that long ago and it was like $20.
Well, so I was there in 1988, which I don't know if that was right around the same time or not, but it was...
No, this was like 91.
Okay. In 1988, Star Tours had just opened, and the line was like 2.5 hours long. Yeah. And I remember looking at it saying, there's no way I would ever wait in line for 2.5 hours for something. So we actually didn't experience it. And I was 16 at the time. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. So actually, it might have been 87. That would have been right. It would have been 87. But just to prove that trip, actually, just to prove how much Disneyland can be a part of a larger vacation... I live on the East Coast. I have all my life. And so when I was 16, we decided our family trip would be 2 weeks Western United States. And we started in Los Angeles and we spent, I don't want to say that we only spent a day at Disneyland because at the time there was just the one park and it wasn't our whole trip. And we went to Universal Studios. We went to Knott's Berry Farm. No, we didn't go to SeaWorld. We didn't go down to San Diego. We went to Hollywood and toured around Hollywood. We went out to Las Vegas. We saw, my parents sent me to Las Vegas. It was very boring for me. And then we went to the Grand Canyon. And then we went up to San Francisco. We actually drove up the Pacific Coast Highway and we stopped in Big Sur and all that. It was a fantastic trip. And it was 2 weeks. Disneyland was a small part of it, but it was one of my favorite parts of it for sure. So that just proves that if you're not as much a theme park person and you think all we ever do on this podcast is talk about Disney World and you have no interest in going, it actually can be part of a much larger, more important.
Yeah, the two times we've gone with my kids, I have family in California, Southern California. So we have places to stay for part of our trip, but we've done a 10 day, 2 week trip. And we've driven up to Yosemite and camped up there. And that is just so phenomenal. I love doing that. There's a lot, and there's still so much of California I haven't seen, even though I've gone a few times and spent a good amount of time. Well, we'll have to make a trip and go back.
Mine is the opposite. We started in San Francisco. We went when I was 13, and we went for 2 weeks, started in San Francisco, ended in San Diego, went to Disneyland, went to Universal, went to SeaWorld. I mean, we did it all. That was what made me move to California, that trip. I lived there for 12 years.
So that had such an impact on you at 13 that you knew you wanted to live there. I think Ellie feels the same way. I think Ellie would do that.
Yeah. Well, my daughter, as soon as we set foot in San Francisco the first time, that she remembers, she was like, do they have colleges here? It's like, yeah, one or two.
When I was 16, I went on a teen tour across the United States. Pretty much it was 2 weeks across the top of the United States, 2 weeks in California, 2 weeks back. And we went to Disneyland. And going with my friends was such a different experience. Yeah. And it was so much fun because it wasn't with my parents or my brothers. It was with people my age. And that was the first time I really got to experience it, because when you go with a family of five, you go where your family wants to go.
Right.
So I didn't get to go on a lot of the rides that I wanted to go on. It was a wonderful experience. And it was one of the reasons that I ended up doing the Disney College program and loving Disneyland and Disney World. Another thing I wanted to mention was, we were talking about good times to go to Disneyland. Russ and I went once on Super Bowl, and it was actually a California Super Bowl. It was hysterical. It was packed until about 3 o'clock. And then the place emptied out. You were literally running the queue in Space Mountain. We had a little TV with us, and every once in a while we'd take it out so Russ could see the score. And we'd see the same people. So they'd go, what's the score? And we'd run the queue, and they'd say, what's the score? And it was great. We were literally going on the ride over and over and over again.
So interestingly, when I went in, whatever that 2001, whatever it was that I'm sort of faking my way through, it might've been 2002.
It opened February 2001.
It would have been 2002. That's right. So we actually did, we're big hockey fans, and we follow the Carolina Hurricanes because we live in North Carolina and that's what you do. Sometimes they're a really good team. And we actually followed them out to California. They they played the Kings and then the Ducks, and then they played the San Jose Sharks. So we actually took a trip, and this is before we had kids. It tied in really well. We, you know, rented a car, drove out to the Staples Center. The highways are not nearly as bad as you think they're going to be. It really was a very good experience. And we got to see a game in the Staples Center, which we lost, and a game in the at the Duck Pond, which we won, and then a game in the Shark Tank, which we lost. But it was a great road trip, and it sort of tied the whole thing together. And that it was like the first week of February, so it would have been right around Super Bowl weekend. Mm-hmm. I found it to be a great time to be in Southern California. It was cold here, but it was beautiful there, and you know, it was comfortable the whole time. The only time we needed long sleeve shirts was when we went into the arenas.
I honestly think Southern California is pretty good anytime. Mm-hmm. Really, I mean, we've gone in August when normally on the East Coast, if you go, you know, vacation in August, you're going to be hot and sweaty, and they just don't have the humidity. Like, mm-hmm. You're going to wear a sweatshirt at night. It's nice weather. August twice with my family, and then the time I went with my friend, it was like Easter, which was also very nice.
Mm-hmm. We go mostly in the spring. I think January or February we've gone, in April we've gone, in May. This time we actually went in June, and I was expecting it to be a lot warmer than it was, and it was perfect. And it was before the kids got out of school, so we were there during the week, and it wasn't busy. Going during the week when school is in session is a great time to go, no matter what time of year.
Yeah. Yep.
Weekends get a lot busier.
So especially so many locals go. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's really, you think about when could locals go, so don't go then. I will say one thing about going as adults, and when I was talking about the hockey trip, it reminded me, one thing that we did that trip, which I recommend anyone do, whether you're a big Disney fan or not, there is an all-day tour called A Walk in Walt's Footsteps. It's a special tour that's offered. It goes through Disneyland Park, and you basically get to, used to be that you could go into the apartment. You couldn't do that when I did it, and then they started letting you do it. Now they don't let you do it anymore, but you really get a perspective. The tour guide really talks about sort of what Walt Disney loved about the park, what, you know, the parts that he had a big say in, really talks a lot about the history. They talk about the windows on Main Street and all of those things that make it Walt's park. And so again, if you're a big Disney fan, that's a no-brainer. But even if you just want to know more about your country and American history, mm-hmm. it's such a large part of America, American pop culture.
Well, because Walt was so patriotic, too, that you can't help but be moved when mm-hmm. you do something like that.
I know someone who actually did an Adventures by Disney tour, Southern California tour. She said that was the best tour she had ever taken, mm-hmm. and it ends in Disneyland, which mm-hmm. is just perfect. She said it was expensive, but it was worth every penny.
They take you to Muppet Studios, right? And they take you to mm-hmm. the archives.
Walt Disney Studios and the archives.
Yeah. So definitely some pieces of history that you can't find anywhere else.
Okay, well, that is our show for this week. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, Amy, and myself, Robin, thanks for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.